Amen. Praise the Lord. There's nothing quite like good music. If that doesn't get you going, I'm sorry. There's nothing that can help you. All right, Matthew chapter 1 tonight. We'll be in Matthew chapter 1. I don't think I'll be reclaiming any of Brother Collingsworth's time tonight. We'll see what happens. I appreciate the message this morning. The message tonight is going to dovetail in right with it. And, of course, that's how the Lord always works, because that's how the Bible works, amen, and God is truth. So I want to start by saying that growing up, I loved hearing the stories of my parents. I loved listening to their stories that they would tell of their life whenever they were growing up, their accounts of faith, hard work, failure, success, all of that. Whether it was in ministry, maybe it was educationally, maybe it was just in everyday life, those stories mattered to me because they taught me some life lessons. But I especially love sitting at the feet of my grandparents and soaking up the stories that they would tell. Stories of faithfulness, of my grandfather. He would talk about sometimes his athletic accomplishments. Really, it was my grandma bragging on him more than anything. But especially, I love listening to their stories of spiritual victory that came because they had some commitment and some character. And long before I realized it, those moments started to shape me, teaching me that excellence in every area of our life has to be intentional. It doesn't happen on accident. And when you live a life of spiritual dedication, like my parents and my grandparents have done, you will influence some people along the way. And over the years, people have often said to me, oh, you're so-and-so, I know your parents, I love your parents. Or, oh, you're so-and-so, I know your grandparents, I love your grandparents. And they would always add, you've got a big name to live up to. And my mother's maiden name is Ross, and of course my family name is Jackson. On both sides of the family, I've been told that I have a big name to live up to. And I've repeated that a few times to my own children, because having a name is not just something that we're called, it's a legacy that we carry. It's a responsibility to honor those who have come before us, and I'm thankful for the family that I have. Now, I say all that, and we'll come back to it, but I want to begin the message tonight in a very simple, very honest way. And I want to say this. I love this church. And I don't just mean I love the building, though I'm thankful for the air conditioning and the fact that the roof generally doesn't leak. I mean I love the people. I love the faces that I see every single week. I love the handshakes, the hugs, the smiles, the occasional how are you that turns into a 15-minute conversation right when you have somewhere to go. But I wouldn't trade that for the world. I love it. I can't imagine being anywhere else. I can't imagine serving anywhere else. This to me is not just a stepping stone. It's not a for now place. This is home. God has knit my heart to this church in a way that I can't explain apart from his grace and his calling. Can I also say that I love our pastor? And I don't say that lightly. I thank God for a man who loves the word of God, who stands on truth when it's not popular, and who shepherds people, not just numbers, not just programs. He shepherds souls. And I love my pastor's vision. No prayer equals no vision, and it's obvious that our pastor has quite the prayer life because God has given him a great vision for this church. We live in a day when faithful leadership is becoming more and more rare, and I don't take for granted the blessing that God has given us here. And I think I say that every time I'm up here, but it's because it's all the more true. Can I say also, I love our staff. Ministry is not easy, and anyone who thinks it is clearly has not tried to keep Miss Healy's schedule. Our staff serves with humility, thankfulness, unity, and just like any good family, we're not perfect, but we're committed, and I think that matters for something. Can I also say that I love our school, Berean Christian Academy, where my daughter attends. As a parent, there's something deeply comforting about knowing your child is being taught the truth. Amen. Not just academically, but spiritually. Working in the public school system throughout the week has given me just how much of an insight and how great of a blessing BCA is. I mean, my wife is a product of BCA. Knowing that my daughter is surrounded by teachers who point her to Christ, who reinforce what we teach at home and who pray for her, there's no price tag that you can put on that. Can I also say that I love North Florida Baptist College, where I have the privilege to teach. To invest in the next generation of servants, pastors, teachers, and ministry workers, even though they probably don't see themselves as that, is not just shaping their minds, but their hearts. That's a sacred responsibility. They're not just students. They're the future leaders who are going to take our place someday. Of course, I'll say I love our deaf ministry. I love it because it's living proof that God is still working. Still growing his church, still calling people to himself, sometimes in ways that we didn't expect, and sometimes faster than we expected because we thought, wow, God, I didn't see that coming. Over the past season, we've seen some excitement in our deaf ministry that I think is impossible to ignore. We've had visitors and people walking in who've never been here before. Some of them were invited by friends. Some of them just found us online. People who are searching for the truth, and they know where to find it. It's here. I've watched the deaf ministry grow, not just in number, but I've watched them grow in maturity. Individually, we've had some people step up out of their comfort zones. Some who were quiet have learned to find their voice. Some who are on the sidelines have stepped forward to serve. Some who were unsure began to grow confident, not in themselves, but in what God could do through them. And as a group, I think we've grown together. We've learned how to work as a team, and we've taken some leaps of faith. And I want to say this plainly and humbly. They followed me even when some of the things I put before them probably didn't make sense. I'd go to pastor and I'd say, Pastor, is this crazy? And he'd say, no, actually, I think that's perfect. Go do it. And there were moments when I'm sure the deaf people probably thought, I don't see how that's going to work. They might have said, are you sure about doing it that way? They probably thought, Brother Jackson, are we sure that this is what we want to do? And yet they trusted. They showed up, they prayed, they tried, and God has blessed that faithfulness. The kind of growth that happens is not automatic. It's built, it's earned, and it's humbling to be a part of. This deaf ministry is not just a program, it is a testimony. And I have a point to all this, so hang with me. It is a testimony of what happens when people are willing to step out in faith, follow the leadership that God gives, and believe that God can do more than we could ever ask or think. Now, when I consider all that Pastor has put before our church, which is a lot, and even the things he has not yet put before us, I cannot help but consider the vision and the dream that God has placed deep within my own heart as the deaf pastor of this church. Now, I want you to hear me clearly tonight. I could not do what I do without our pastor and the vision that God has given him. Ministry doesn't happen in isolation. It's not a vacuum into itself. It doesn't thrive without some courageous leadership like we have in our pastor. Without leadership that believes in it, it's not going to happen. Pastor didn't need to hire me as a deaf pastor, especially one who's still learning the language and still wet behind the ears in ministry. But did you know that less than 5% of churches in America, of any denomination, have anything for the deaf? 5%. That is an overwhelming majority of churches that have either never seen the deaf, never considered the deaf, or just never made an effort to reach the deaf. That means for every 100 churches, 95 are silent to them. 95 never try. 95 never adapt. 95 never make room. But this ministry exists because we serve a God who sees, and we are led by a man of God who cares. And that ought to stir our hearts. What else can God do here at Emmanuel Baptist Church simply because we have a pastor with a vision that is big enough to include even the ministries that a liberal church would forego? Because we have people who are willing to say, yes, God, I'll do it. Yes, God, I'll pray. I'll go. I'll serve. I'll sacrifice. If God can take an obscure ministry like the deaf ministry that most churches pass over, and he can be glorified through us, just imagine what he could do throughout every other ministry of this church, and even the ministries that are yet to come. This deaf ministry is not here by accident. It is not here because it was convenient. It is here because the vision demanded it. And if it's true of the deaf ministries, what other ministries is that also true of? But I also know this with an absolute certainty. Everything that this church has experienced is not the end of the story. God is not finished with this church. He's not finished with this ministry. God is not finished with this city. God has more in store as long as we don't get in his way. God has given our pastor a vision, not just of what is, but of what can be and what must be if we are willing to move forward in faith. And when vision from the pulpit meets burden in the heart and obedience in the pew, something powerful begins to happen. Revival becomes possible. Every Sunday morning, I open up these buildings, and to be honest, I probably arrive a little earlier than I really need to, but I love to take my time so that while I'm opening up and I'm turning on the lights, I'm unlocking doors, I can think and pray. And often in those quiet moments, moments when nobody else is around, when the noise fades and the lights are low and it's just me and the Lord, I begin to think about the deaf who have not yet come, but I know that they will someday. I think about deaf men and women who will one day walk through our doors for the very first time in their lives, be told about a God who loves them, not tolerates them, loves them. I see them being dealt with and getting saved. Every single Sunday morning I'm here, I see them walking the aisle and getting baptized. And then I see them growing in the Lord. And then my mind goes even further than that. I see those same individuals being trained to become soul winners, reaching their own community with the gospel. I see deaf men answering the call to preach, becoming deaf pastors. I see our college training people to become interpreters, equipping them to serve, to interpret, to start other deaf ministries in other churches, and to multiply the cause of Christ, not contain it here. I see a great work of God that's happening right here in Jacksonville, something that is so strong, so alive and spirit-filled that it doesn't stay here. It spreads. It impacts, not because we wanted people to be looking at us, but because God wanted the gospel to go out. And then I think about our children. I think about boys and girls who will one day ride a bus to this church, some from homes filled with love, others from homes filled with chaos. And then we'll step onto this campus and be met by people who care, and be told about a God who loves them even more. I see them as they walk into their Sunday school classes that are full, bursting at the seams. I see teachers who are praying and studying and preparing and teaching with joy. I see classes multiplying, not because we planned it on paper, but because God sent us the people. I see hallways filled with voices, classrooms full of Bibles, children learning scripture, teens learning to lead, adults giving their all to God. And I see buildings, the ones the pastor talks about off and on. I see buildings built not because we want a monument to the city of Jacksonville, but because the old buildings could no longer contain what God was doing. I see parking lots so full that people have to walk a little further to get inside the door, and they gladly do it. And every Sunday morning when I open these buildings, I also see families, broken, wounded, ravaged by the sin of this world, who will come through these doors and find healing. Families who thought they were too far gone, discovering that grace still works. I envision those that the world has rejected finding hope in the salvation that God offers. I see those who are grieving finding rest at our ranch. I see those struggling with addiction finding help through our 12 Stones of Freedom. I see those who are forgotten and lonely in the nursing homes finding companionship and comfort. I see young people lying awake at night and wondering, what in the world does God want from my life? And going to Camp New Beginnings, hearing his voice, surrendering their future to God, not to the American dream. A camp that doesn't just change their summer, but it changes their life. And then I see the future of our Bible college. I see young men and women who answer God's call and enroll, not because it was convenient, but because it was necessary, because God impressed in their heart a fervor and a burden to reach the world. I see them being trained and sent out. I see them coming from this church, our deaf ministry, our teen classes, our Sunday school classes, prepared to serve the Lord. And then I think about my own children. Growing up here with people that love them, they receive a solid education. They have godly friendships. They make good decisions. They learn character. They become a balanced young adult who loves God and serves him. I love the truth that my children can grow up here, and they don't have to leave here to go get the truth, because we have it here. That's not imagination. It's vision. It's not just something that we think about and then we forget, because vision demands a response. Revival does not come to those who admire it from a distance. It comes to those who fall on their knees and say, Lord, do it here. God, start with me. Church, this is not wishful thinking. It's not emotional dreaming. This is a vision that God has given us, but it must be fueled by faith. And yes, sometimes it sounds too big. Sometimes it sounds impossible. Sometimes what pastor asks of us seems too hard. Sometimes it makes people nervous, because a vision typically does. But I'd rather be accused of following a man who's dreaming too big than pretending to serve a God who in my mind is too small. Because if God can see the deaf when the world ignores them, if God can heal the broken when others walk away, if God can use this church in this city at this time, then we have not even begun to see what God can do. Now, church, I say all of this for a reason. Because when you love something, you care deeply about it. And when you care deeply about something, you want it to remain faithful and strong and pleasing to God. Love leads us to gratitude, but it also leads us to some responsibility. And that's what I want us to consider today, our responsibility. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23. We're just going to read one verse here. Verse 23, it says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, I know this verse is typically read only during Christmas time, but I read that verse because our church bears that name, Emmanuel Baptist Church. Most churches have a name, and if we're honest, for many places that name has become nothing more than a religious label. Letters on a website, words on a sign, something that people drive past every single day without a second thought. People don't stop to consider what the name means. They don't ask why it was chosen. It just becomes familiar. It means nothing. But our church bears a name that cannot be treated lightly. Emmanuel, God with us. Not God was with us, not God might be with us, not God with us if everything turns out okay. God with us. That's not a slogan. That's not corporate branding. That is a declaration. I don't want that name to just be a sign out front or a letterhead at the top of a page. I want it to be an announcement to our community that says, hey, this is not just something that you see and you read. That is something you can come in and you can experience. When people hear the name Emmanuel Baptist Church, I want them to say, that's the place where God is with his people. That's the place where broken lives are changed. That's the place where hope is real. Because if God is truly with us, then things must happen. If God is with us, the lost must be found. If God is with us, sin cannot stay comfortable. If God is with us, revival is not optional, it is inevitable. Church, I don't want us to gather week after week after week and settle for form without power. I don't want us to have the name of God while living as though we're doing this on our own. Moses once said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And that ought to be the cry of our hearts. Lord, if you're not with us, we don't want to move. We don't want to go. But oh, when God is with his people, I can see it in my mind. I see a church where the presence of God is so real that people walk in and they know it before a word is ever spoken. Where conviction falls quietly and tears come without explanation. Where altars are not empty. Prayer is not rushed. And church, if our name is Emmanuel, then we have to live like it. We must pray like we believe God is with us. We must serve like we truly believe God is with us. We must witness like we believe God is with us. We must step out in faith like we truly believe God is with us. Because the world does not need another church with a religious name and empty power. The world needs a place where God is truly with his people. And if God is calling us to be that place, then it starts here. It starts with us on our knees. It starts with our sacrifice. It starts by us setting our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It starts with us following our pastor, our loyalty, our unity, our faith. That's not just a vision. That's us living up to our name, Emmanuel Baptist Church. And that's the title of the message tonight, Living Up to Our Name. Living Up to Our Name. This will be a short message in the outline. I know I took a lot of time with the introduction, but we'll hit this very quickly and we'll be done. Number one, God. God. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. Before we ever talk about God with anyone, we must begin here. There is a God. Not a concept, not a feeling, not a tradition, not a recitation in a place that is a monument to man. A holy, eternal, sovereign God who is real. And if that is true, it changes how we conduct ourselves. Sometimes we need to let God, as it says in Jeremiah 10:10, be king. That means we are beneath him. We need to give God his proper place. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. And this God is truth. John 14:6, Jesus saying unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. People can hear that and say, well, that's rather braggadocious. No, it's just the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Truth does not come from the culture. It does not change with our opinion. Truth does not adjust itself to whatever is convenient. God is truth. And since that is true, God must do the work. He must be the foundation of all our hopes and all our dreams. He must be the cornerstone of all that we do, because as we are reminded in Scripture, Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It doesn't matter what we do in here if God's not involved. I don't care what name we put on a sign. If God's not with us, it's all just pointless religious diatribe. Right. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." That's why God has to be our priority. Right. Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If God is not first, everything else will be out of order. And if we get this point wrong, every other point that we see tonight is just going to fall apart. If God is real and God is truth, and God must do the work, and he must be the priority, then we must make him so in our church and in our lives, because we cannot live up to our name while ignoring the name above all names. We cannot live up to our name without first having God in his rightful place. Number one, God. Number two, God with you. God with you. God with us is not about doctrine so much as it is a relationship. God with you. Psalm 145, verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Much of our current series of Sunday school lessons is about us learning to develop a relationship with God. It's a sad reality that many Christians around the country are saved, but they don't grow. God does not save us to leave us alone. He walks with us. He wants to be with you and me. What a thought. When's the last time you stopped to think about the fact that God wants to have a relationship with you? Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But listen, before we can have God with us, we first need to have God with you on an individual basis. Because here's the truth that we must internalize. We do not grow spiritually as a church unless we grow spiritually as individuals. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." No one can live on borrowed spirituality. No one can grow on someone else's prayer life. It must be real in your heart. It must be genuine. It must be your faith in him. Not the pastor's faith, not your parents' faith, not your Sunday school teacher's faith. Your faith for salvation and everyday life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That was a command to individuals. You can't pick up God on the way in the door and drop him off on your way out. God with you means daily dependence, daily obedience, daily growth. John chapter 15, verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you." Later on in verse 5, he says, "For without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. And that's what we are. We're just a gathering of people without God. We are nothing. It means that when pastor stands before us and asks us to do a thing that we think is impossible, we don't look to the church to have faith. We have faith ourselves. So much so that our faith becomes evident in our schedule, evident in our checkbook, evident in our time with God, evident in our love for others, evident in our enthusiasm for the vision that God has given this church, evident because God is with us. Just as Moses came down from the mount after time alone with God and his face shone, it glowed, and it was evident that he had been with God. That should be the desire of every Christian here tonight. If you want God with us, you first need God with you. Thirdly, God with others. God with others. A church that wants the presence of God must first have the heart of God. And the Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." God's heart is for people because God never intended his presence to stop with one person. A while ago when Pastor was preaching through the Great Commission lessons series, he made a statement that I love. He said, "God never intended the gospel to stop with you." When God is with you, he wants to work through you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Because the gospel is not a scheduled event. We know this. It's a lifestyle. That's why in Mark 16:15, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Truth must go out. Not occasionally, not conveniently, but consistently. And this is where a lot of churches are starting to shrivel up and die. They keep the truth inside the walls. Truth must go out. Acts chapter 4, verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." God with others means the gospel leaving the building and entering your daily life. Our homes, our workplaces, our conversations, our neighborhoods. It means more missionaries sent, more soul winners trained, more Sunday school classes and Bible studies started, more churches planted. God with others means we're not depending on the pastor to do it, we do it. God with others means we take personal responsibility on an individual basis for the Great Commission. It means we're ready to answer every man. God with others also means we stop comparing. We're not comparing our church against another church. We're not measuring ourselves against one another. We're not competing against another ministry, because comparison divides, but the gospel always unites. Our focus is not on who is bigger or better or doing it differently. Our focus is on reaching others. It means we work together, not to compete, but to see God add souls. And can I say, we don't discriminate based off of how bad your sinful past was. We want everyone to hear the truth, because if God's grace can reach them, then God's people must welcome them. I don't care who you are or where you've been. I don't care how broken, how guilty, how far gone you think you are. If you are the worst sinner on this side of eternity, God still wants you saved. And there's a place for you here at Emmanuel Baptist Church if you're willing to put that behind you and move forward for God. Last point, number four, God with us. God with us. Us, that means a unified church. Unity is not created by personality. Unity is not maintained by compromise. Unity is produced by truth. That is the only thing that can produce unity. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We do not unite around preference. We do not unite around whatever our favorite hobby is. We unite around the truth. Too many people misunderstand this and believe that truth must be set aside for the sake of unity. But that is the opposite of real unity. Unity does not come from avoiding truth. Unity is built on truth. That's why we don't weaken the message. We don't soften what the scripture says. Because when a lost sinner comes in, they need to hear the truth. Not from a heart of hate, but a heart of love. Because when truth is compromised, unity collapses. True unity can only stand when it is firmly founded on truth. That's why it's important that we keep God in his rightful place. That's why it's important that we protect our Bible and we study it, because we must have the truth. We cannot have God with us if there is no truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to get rid of the unity, if you want to kick God out to the street, change the Bible. If you want to get rid of the unity, if you want to cause problems, get rid of the truth. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's why point number one matters so much. If God is truth, then truth must be priority. Our unity will be artificial and fragile without God. There are a lot of social clubs who gathered this morning under the guise of being a church. They call themselves a church, but their unity is based on a lie. That's not true unity. And God is not there. But here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, we should not be united by background, not by societal status, favorite sports teams, but by truth. In conclusion, let me say this. Church, if we want God with us, God must be priority. God must be personal to us. God must be proclaimed to the world. And God's truth must be what unites us. God in his rightful place, plus God with you, plus going out to share God with others, equals God with us. When we began tonight, I talked about a name, not a slogan, not a tradition. Emmanuel, God with us. We spoke of vision, of souls yet to be saved, of children riding buses, Sunday school classes overflowing, buildings being built, parking lots filled, families restored, young people surrendering their lives, and servants being trained to carry the truth into the next generation. But church, hear me clearly. None of that is possible unless God is truly with us. But that means embracing what God has called us to be. You're not just the teen ministry. The Emmanuel Baptist teens. That should mean something. It's not just, oh, I'm in the Emmanuel Baptist choir. I'm in the Emmanuel Baptist church choir. God is with us. It's not just, oh, we're the Emmanuel Baptist deaf. We're the deaf where God is with us. We're not just a member of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. This is the church where something special is happening, because we put God in his proper place. You're not just a Sunday school teacher. You teach an Emmanuel Baptist Church. And that should affect the way that you handle yourself at work tomorrow morning. That should change how you deal with others throughout the week. That should make you want to get up tomorrow and make sure that God has his proper place in your life so that you're walking with him. You should look for opportunities to share God with someone else because you want to live up to our name. Because we must have God with us. Because it's possible to have plans without God's presence. We can have buildings without God's blessing. We can have activity without God's approval. We can even have God's name on our sign and yet not have his power. And I fear nothing more than bearing the name of Emmanuel while living as if though we can do this without God. Moses understood that when he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Lord, if you're not with us, what is the point? If God's not priority, the vision will fail. If God's truth is not prioritized, our unity will crumble. If God is not with us personally, growth will stop. If God is not with us collectively, revival will never come. But oh, if we live up to our name, if we will put truth first, if we will seek God's presence daily, if we will carry the gospel as a lifestyle, if we will unite around what God has said, then Emmanuel will not just be written on a sign. It will be known throughout our city. It will be felt in our services. It will be seen in the lives that God changes. And church, the vision still stands. The future is still before us, but it begins here. It begins now on our knees saying, Lord, let us live up to your name. God, you be with us. And every time you drive onto this property and you see our sign, I pray that it reminds you that Emmanuel is not just our name, it is our calling. And we must live up to our name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, I would encourage you.